Hope I didn't forget anything.
Just kind of spit it out and then basically.
I was gonna be split by 5 minutes.
But I have everything here, the original information, so if we need anything.
They don't store the trains up here.
No.
First thing is the two.
This is by the.
Between the bridge.
There was.
The big tower.
Yeah, that's an old factory.
Yeah, that's where the warehouse.
Yeah.
Part of it already.
It's a regional.
I don't think that's a remark. I know, the one time he was here, there was somebody, there was Norton sitting there, so John just sat out.
Was it Alan?
Tom was showing that.
No, there was someone, no, there was an alternate board member, so John just sat out.
They don't want to have people in cars. So.
Yeah.
There we go.
This one.
Yeah, I don't know who the person is he mentioned. Well, Mike's not a kid. Oh, yeah, so he knows those are six. Yeah, that's good. But I said, you know, I was told you went there to Chuck one to get his parts.
I had cost of virtual last night. Chairman, I just found out. I mean, this is the second time I've had this. And because it's also kind of fine. He probably thought it was a two-family. He's been used to two-family, but it's actually never been.
Hi, how are you?
To be illegal in the township, so. And so this, and we really can't prove it. We couldn't, I didn't have to really stop it. That was used for the change. So, because then we changed the 1840s. I couldn't show that I had no idea. Yeah. What, for the zoning?
Yeah. And they're good.
Yeah, but you go by the county to be granted. Yeah, they look like the town has prior to that, then the creation of the town is on. So we couldn't show it. My guy bought it, marketed it as chicken. The entire owner had died a couple months before the. They've been hanging in there. You always do well. Yeah, so I had a Christmas thing. Your zoning officer already found a couple of last year, my guys were at West Bend. In July, the prior owner went termination. They went to the zoning, although the zoning officer really wants all the good. He's only able to do it for 1 year.
Who are you?
So basically, his rights have good.
Hey, Bill.
But he did it at that year, 24.
Which is good, by the way.
So, but he did it then.
How many people we need to have a. Rivera arrived. Okay. So we're good. Because I haven't heard from Mr. Londono. I sent him an email. I finally found his email mess in the office. But I don't know. What? Alternate? None of them is coming. I know Reese Riley, Arturo Santana, Jim Vizioli, and Maria Rosario, they are right.
She's surrendered information.
My wife's attorney.
Yeah, the basic of the music makes sense. And, yeah, but ultimately you're supposed to show the music if you use the term before 1930. No, before. Yes. So we, and the ladies like 95 years old, like, can get a gem general testimony. So ultimately, like, you really do stuff. So, but I mean, but the whole thing is, it's a two-fifth, and the board's sitting there, first of all, wasting my time calling the ball. Because they're trying to prove, like, it shouldn't be used as two-family, because pulling out that road and the road is busting that road and taking it over. And, I mean, I have to ask someone, I was like, is it really? I go, the one thing we're doing, the punch can fly over there. You're actually improving the property because you're putting a permanent
I haven't heard anything from Mr. Rondano, Commissioner Rondano. I mean, I sent him an email. I don't have his phone number. I haven't heard back. But I put his place in there. He have all the applications. Maybe he will show up. I don't believe we are. I think we are good. Let me check.
So I mean, I have down there's now, which are legal take time. And so we're arguing about this, and so the board chairman's like, do you want to vote? I'm like, yeah, I'd like to vote.
The
board of chairman comes over.
Was it 100? It's not here.
19 Liberty Street. The first, yeah. It was pushed from the last meeting.
That's up to your attorney.
Okay. So we'll just skip over them for now.
Yeah. And if they arrive, they can be last.
Okay.
I mean.
So I'm
briefing. I think they know that it's a problem. They don't want to do
it. Yeah, yes. They have to test. Only have to test. Okay, everyone, welcome to our April 17th Planning Board meeting. I'd like to call this meeting to order.
Commissioner Gregory?
Here.
Commissioner Insera?
Here.
Commissioner Isling?
Here.
Commissioner Rondano? Commissioner Orama?
Here.
Council Member Santana? Commissioner Vizzioli? Mayor Dodd? Vice Chair Miller,
present.
Chairman Rivera,
yeah.
Paula, if you would, on the agenda, line one.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, also known as the Sunshine Law, New Jersey SA 10:4-6. Notice of the 2025 meeting schedule was sent to the Daily Record and published in the Daily Record on February 3, 2025. The annual meeting list was also posted on the Municipal Bulletin Board in Town Hall, on the Town of Dover website, and submitted to the Town Clerk. As a reminder, there is no smoking in this building. There are two exits in case of emergency, and this meeting is not streaming on Facebook Live. However, the audio will be posted in a timely manner to the town website.
Thank you. The
Would everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Minutes for March.
I can make a motion to approve those minutes.
I second.
Roll call.
Commissioner Kilgore?
Here.
Commissioner Insara?
Yes.
Commissioner Islin?
Yes.
Commissioner Londono? Commissioner Orama?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
Chairman Rivera?
I don't know. I don't think we have enough votes to approve the minutes.
We have a quorum?
We have a quorum, but the other folks were not here for the...
So we have to vote again?
Okay. We'll have to do that the next
you can
meeting.
Put it up
okay.
for the next meeting.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Resolution P24-04, Edwin Stevens Rosa. It was approved, right?
Okay. Okay, done. Commissioner Kilgore? Who was this? Commissioner in...
You weren't here?
No. Commissioner in Sarah?
Yes. Okay.
Commissioner Islin? Commissioner Londono? I keep calling him. Yeah. Commissioner Orama?
We'll have to carry that vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, how many do we have available to vote tonight?
Four.
You can approve a resolution on four.
On four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we could have done minutes too?
I don't know the answer to that question for the minutes, but I've had this question.
But
this one, the resolution.
Okay.
Can do the
if
resolution.
So, we'll move it forward. If not, we'll...
So, Commissioner Orama?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Rivera?
No.
Oh, Chairman Rivera.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Here's the new business. That's in the front of the schedule. I see. Non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment, preliminary investigation, block 510, lots 6 and 6. Block 1213, lots 2 and 4, blocks 1219, lot 4, 5, and 6, and block 1803, lot 11, blocks 1804, lot 13. And that was a resolution in this matter of the non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment preliminary investigation of this of the blocks. We need to approve that resolution.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to have a presentation first regarding these the non-condemnation areas, and then we can move the vote on that later.
Okay. My apologies. I wasn't sure if that was discussed in the last meeting.
Good evening, Chairman.
Yes.
It's a little confusing the way that it's arranged because I want to introduce myself. My name is Dean Donatelli, the town's redevelopment attorney. And this is a little unique because it's a area in need of redevelopment study under the redevelopment law. It's one of the planning board's roles. So I'll be very brief. So this process starts as a resolution from the council directing the planning board to conduct an area in need of redevelopment study and hold a public hearing. Your planner, McDonough Associates, Matt, has done that report. He's going to testify tonight. You know Matt, but my role is really just to introduce it and kind of set the stage so you know what the steps are. So again, the council directed the planning board to do what we're doing tonight. The resolution, Chairman, that you're referring to is kind of the second step in the event that after the public hearing, you find that the recommendation can be made, which I'll explain. You can then adopt the resolution at the direction of Mr. Rush. But the first step is to hold a public hearing, hear the testimony of your planner, as I indicated, and the public. It's a public hearing. It's been noticed as to whether the properties that you stated, Chairman, meet the criteria in the redevelopment law as an area in need of redevelopment. And the planner will tell you more about that. The chairman already listed the lots, so I won't do it again because there's nine of them. But they're commonly known for the public, it's the surface parking lots near the train station, as well as we call it the New Jersey Transit storage yard. It's been a storage yard for many years. For those in town know it better than I do. So you'll hear the testimony, the criteria as to why those lots qualify as an area in need of redevelopment. You'll hear comments and questions from the public, and then make a recommendation to council as to whether the council should declare these properties an area in need of redevelopment. And then the second step would be the adoption of the resolution, which is Mr. Rush and I have already talked about. It's a non-condemnation, last point, it's a non-condemnation declaration, which, what does that mean? That means that the town does not have the authority to use eminent domain to take any of the properties. It would be a voluntary transaction between some of the properties owners. The transit owns, there are private property owners, two of them, and transit owns some of the lots, and then the town parking utility owns the others. That's all I have. Unless you have any questions for me, I'll turn it over to Matt, your planner.
Yeah, raise your hand. Yes, right here. You can testify. Do you swear affirm the testimony you should give the board should be the truth and entire truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I should ask.
Thank you, Dave.
Before you start, I should ask the board, does anyone have questions for?
Okay.
I'm here if you need.
Thanks. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Matt Flynn, representing John McDonough Associates. As was just introduced by Dean, we did prepare this non-condemnation AINR report. Prepared on March 25th, 2025, which was, as he mentioned, a result of a resolution authorizing this study. Really, I think, Paula, do you have this that you could throw up there?
I have for everybody printed.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, no.
We do have a copy.
No, but sure.
Was that part of the package, or do you have that marked?
I don't know.
Let's mark it as A1, then.
Sure. So what we'll call A1 is really a breakdown and overview of the properties that we assessed as part of the AINR. We can see it's basically four non-contiguous areas highlighted in yellow here, and we have the breakdown on the bottom right in this chart that shows the nine parcels that were considered, as well as the criteria that were considered and associated with each of those properties. Really, I would say, just to, I guess, zoom out a little bit, all of these properties except one meet the criteria D of the local redevelopment and housing law, which speaks to obsolete or poor design, lack of landscaping, excessive pavement, really not consistent with modern planning principles to promote a vibrant downtown area. Here, as Mr. Donatelli testified, this is an area that's really characterized by large parking lots, and so I think that the criteria is met by virtue of that, again, contrary to the vision for a vibrant downtown area. When we look at criteria D, we like to apply criteria H as well. We don't typically apply criteria H by itself, but when we can combine it with other criteria, we usually do so. Criteria H is known as the smart growth criteria, and it really speaks to redirecting the population to transit hubs and replacing parking lots, like I said. So we don't usually like to apply that criteria by itself, but where we are applying criteria D, we think it also makes sense to apply H as well. What we'll see on that chart there is that two of the properties have criteria A associated with it as well. Those were the properties that we actually saw structures that were in substandard or unsafe conditions. The two properties include the Dover train station as well as the boarding house, which is across from one of the parking lots. Again, we can see it on the on Exhibit A1, which is now on the screen as well. We also applied Section 3 to the one residential dwelling. As Mr. Donatelli mentioned, this is a non-condemnation study, meaning that any future development would need to be a good faith negotiation between the town as well as the property owner. Nobody is taking any of the land. It needs to be agreed upon on a mutually agreed upon price. So again, it's a non-condemnation study. The reason we use Section 3 is essentially to avoid a sort of haphazard arrangement of properties. When that lot is so located that there are other properties located around it that are included in the study, we like to use Section 3 to throw that property in there as well, just because it would result in a more cohesive and organized layout for potential future development of that overall area. So with that, I know that we do have this, it's a 50-page report. I can go through each one of these individually or any of them that the board wants me to individually, or I think we can just leave it at that. Again, these are mostly parking lots, and other than that, we are looking at some substandard structures that we believe meet the criteria.
So the large Crescent Field parking lot area, the parking lot area towards the football field that and the soccer field, that's owned by the town. The parking,
the lot,
yeah,
right next
that
to the
lot.
Field.
Or
yeah.
Is that okay? And then the train yard, and then the other area closer to the train tracks. That's New Jersey Transit.
Correct.
Okay.
We have, and then there's that other little spot where the
house, the boarding house is.
Yeah.
Why are you mentioning the billboard?
So the billboard is, if I can remember correctly, it's on its own lot, I believe.
Is that the billboard? That's the where Thomas's Liquors is. Where's the billboard? I'm trying to figure out where the one I can think of now is one on Blackwell Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look on the exhibit, and I'll point it out to you, it's block 510, lot 6, which would be.
I'll point it from Matt.
The billboard is right here.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
The reason why it's identified separately is because when your tax assessor has a billboard, they create a separate lot, and so they could tax the billboard and the property owner separately. So when we do our study, when your planner does the study, they study it as technically it's on the same lot, but it's taxed as a separate lot, so we treat it as a separate lot.
Is that owned by New Jersey Transit?
So where is this billboard actually? Is it the one that's on Blackwell Street?
No.
Orchard and Dickerson.
Yes,
it's Orchard Street.
If you go from the Legion diagonally across,
yeah.
It's right there.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't even know there was one there.
That's one of the criteria, because it's so.
I know exactly where you're talking about now, the parking lot.
Okay. Yeah. And that is owned by Engine Transit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although the tenant is CBS, so they have a tenant that leases that space from them.
Okay.
Yeah, because otherwise New Jersey Transit is tax exempt.
Yes.
So they get have to pay taxes on that small portion of the billboard.
Right. I know exactly now.
So these areas that have been deemed for redevelopment, they're big lots. What kind of ideas do you have on putting in there? What would the town want to put in there?
So assuming that the board grants this resolution, that would be the next step, would be to authorize the actual redevelopment plan, and that's when that would be decided. So this does not actually commit the board or anybody to any development.
Right.
The actual plan would have to then be approved, and the board would then be able to look at that.
This just continues the process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is New Jersey Transit on board with negotiating for this redevelopment?
I do not know. But again, this is a non-condemnation study, so if they're not, then that property would not be developed.
So to answer your question, to my knowledge, your planner, Mr. Alex Doherty, so you know Alex, uh-huh. Yeah, they haven't committed to anything yet because no one really knows. There's a potential for, you know, transit's just not going to give up their storage yard. They're going to, it's going to have to be relocated. So there's been negotiations or they're ongoing as to, you know, what's going to go where and what's going to end up.
You don't believe that it's better to have definite decision from them that they're willing participants in this before we spend millions of dollars in studies?
I would say in the normal world, yeah. But when you deal with an agency like transit, they're going to want everything teed up first before they even make any decisions. So it's kind of like there's a hierarchy. You kind of have to make all your decisions first. You go to them and say, we're ready. You know, we've declared an area in need of redevelopment. We're ready to move forward with a redevelopment plan. We have, you know, maybe prospective developers. Maybe there's an RFP or an RFQ seeking interest in the property, and then transit will work with us. They're not going to commit to anything. They make us do all the work just because we're the town and they're transit. If that makes any sense, they just make us get our ducks in a row first.
This is really putting an overlay over these properties now, and then what'll happen is once that's approved, then there'll be a redevelopment plan that will outline new planning criteria specific to this area. And then, as Mr. Donatelli said, then you'll have redevelopers approved by the township, and then they'll come with a plan that satisfies now the new criteria. So how, basically it's like, in a way, it's almost a rezoning process of this area, and it's being done by the township so that going forward, the town can sort of control now what's going to be developed here. It's more of a bigger concept plan. It's kind of seen the big picture. But this is the first step of just outlining and more or less putting these properties on notice that this isn't the intent of the township to put a new zoning overlay onto these properties.
Right. Yeah, and to amplify what Mr. Rush is saying, so I'm just going to go through this process again because it's relatively unique for most planning boards. The first step was the council directing the study that we're doing tonight and the hearing, public hearing. You have to hear from the public and your planner. The next step is Paola's going to send the resolution tonight, if it's adopted, back to the council saying, we recommend that you declare it. The council will then declare the property and direct the planner to do a redevelopment plan, which is Mr. Rush. It basically becomes a new zoning. That's going to come back to you for a master plan consistency. You'll say, I like it, you're gonna do commercial, residential, whatever it is that plan says, you'll have the input and you'll make your recommendation again back to the council. So the planning board is very much involved every step of the way. I mean, the council really calls the shots, so to speak, because they make the legislation, they adopt the ordinance, but you're an advisory board in the process. So you'll be able to submit your comments to council in the process, which is gonna happen tonight too. It's a recommendation tonight. I think that's, I agree with what Mr. Rush said.
You don't think that if we invest all this money to doing the studies and get all this approved, and you don't have negotiations, at least informally with New Jersey Transit, that they hold the cards at once, like let's say right now it's probably worth $1, give you a number, right? Uh-huh. And once we're committed with so many millions of dollars that we can't turn back and they say, no, it's no longer $1, it's $10. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Can something like that happen and backfire on us?
Well, I agree with you. I don't agree with your number, though.
I'm just throwing a number.
So the town would go through the process, and you're right. The town has to pay me. The town has to pay a planner. The town has to issue an RFP and find a developer. And then what would happen is we would say to transit, the town would say to transit, we have an interested developer. I think that... You know, unofficially, I think the town, what they would do is issue an RFP saying, hey, developers out there, we have these 9 lots, or some or all of them, we want your ideas and we want your investment. And they'll come to the town, powers that be, including Alex, and say, we'd like to do this development, residential, commercial, maybe a mixed use, structured parking, you know, relocate this over here. And then what would happen is the money that the town has expended, which you're doing now, which is not nearly millions, but it's in the thousands, that we would say to that redeveloper, okay, we're going to select you, but you're going to have to reimburse the town. We spent $5,000 on a redevelopment study, and so you're going to reimburse us for our costs, and in addition, you're going to reimburse us for all of our costs going forward. And redevelopers will do that. They will do that if they're chosen. If they're chosen as a redeveloper, and then they'll pay the town's costs going forward. And you're right, there's no doubt. It's going to have to be a negotiation with transit. It's going to have to be a negotiation with a redeveloper. They're going to want higher density. The town might want not density. We're going to want affordable housing. They're not going to want affordable, you know, so it'll be a negotiation. So it's not an easy process, especially here, because there'll be a lot, you know, it's a lot of big project.
Mm-hmm.
So everything you're saying is right, but if we didn't do anything, nothing would happen. We need to take, we meaning the town, needs to take the lead on the process.
You're gonna take the first steps.
Yeah. In particular because you own
most of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. But you're right, transit has to be involved. It's happened in Morristown. I don't know whether you've seen the Morristown train station. The transit had rights there as well.
Yes.
that were resolved, and that project is
gone. It worked out for them.
It worked out, yep.
And sort of to answer your concern, transit's been put on notice. So when the chairman opens this up to the public, let's see if somebody from transit shows up to object to this process.
That's right. Good question, though. I mean, you're right.
When was the public hearing held? Is today?
My office, Paola and I, if you're curious, it's a very rigorous public notice. It requires two notices a week apart. The second one is no less than 10 days prior to the hearing. That was done. Powell and I worked on that. And the second notice is also certified mailing is sent to each property owner. I did that. And this is the public hearing. So we need to hear, Chairman, we need to hear from the public.
Sure.
Yeah, one more.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyone on the board have more questions at the moment?
No.
Okay. Thank you. So I'd like to open this portion of the meeting to the public. Anyone wishing to speak or have comments or questions on behalf of the testimony that was given, please step forward. See no one? I'll close this portion of the meeting.
So if no one has any further questions, your next step in this process would be if the board sees fit to recommend to the council that they should designate this property as a redevelopment zone, there should be a motion to that effect.
I'll make a motion that redesignate this property in need of redevelopment.
And you're recommending that to the council?
To the council, yes.
I'll second it.
Okay. Commissioner Gilgari?
Yes.
Commissioner Insera?
Yes.
Commissioner Islin?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Rama?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
Chairman Rivera?
Yes.
Okay, so the application's now been approved. Now, we're kind of fast-tracking this in a sense. The resolution, typically you hear the next meeting, has already been prepared. Mr. Donatelli prepared it. It should be part of your package tonight if you have a chance to review it. If you have any questions, you can ask me, you can ask Mr. Donatelli while he's here. But if you're satisfied with the resolution and you want this application, the approval to be memorialized, then you'll do a normal motion right now as you would with any other resolution.
I make a motion that we pass the resolution for the non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment and the blocks listed.
Second.
Who second? Commissioner Gilgari?
Yes.
Commissioner Insera?
Yes.
Commissioner Islin?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Rama?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
Chairman Rivera?
Yes. Good work, guys. anyone here from 19 Liberty Street? So we have an application. Application is P24-05. It's 19 Liberty Street, LLC, block 1104, lots 19, located in the R3 double family, 7,500 square feet zone. Minor subdivision, minor site plan for following project to subdivide the lot and construct a new two-family home on the newly created lot. Hi.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Bianca Paredes on behalf of the applicant. As the board may recall, this is our third appearance on this matter. We initially came in with an application to subdivide and construct a new two-family home. Based on the comments that we heard from this board and from the public, we reduced the scale of this project significantly. We are now proposing a single-family home. At the last...
Excuse me?
Sure.
It states here two-family, but we talked...
One family.
So just a single, okay.
It's just the original resolution.
Our original application called for a two-family. We reduced that to a single-family. At the last meeting, the board made some very valid and good suggestions, which we have picked up in our drawings. Specifically, we extended our driveway to allow three vehicles for each property. So initially, we had no parking on site. Now we can accommodate six parking spots on site, three for the existing two-family home and three for the new single-family home that we're proposing. We also provided some Belgian block between those driveways so there could be a clear distinction between the two driveway paths. There was a suggestion for a shed and some additional storage space. So we were able to add some storage space in the attic as well as a shed in the rear. And we've also provided stormwater detention for both properties, and those details will be provided even more detail with your engineering company if this board were to approve this application. Our architect is here in case the board has any questions, but those are really the changes that we've picked up. You've heard from our architect before as to all the testimony, so we're here for any questions the board may have today.
Wonderful. So you've addressed...
We've provided all the testimony on this application. We're simply coming back here today with the changes the board asked us for.
I actually reviewed these plans when you sent them to email, and I think you guys have gone above and beyond what's expected.
Thank you.
And I'm satisfied with the changes you guys made, and I'm willing to move forward. Personally.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So, to the board, does anyone have any questions or comments to add to this application for approval?
I mean, I agree that they've done everything to make this work with the family. But I do remember the testimony of the public in talking about the homes, especially the two homes that are close together next right. to it, and the issues they have with on-street parking now. And although they're adding the three spots for either side, there's still the potential there's more cars that still won't fit on the street, and the fact that when the house goes in, it takes parking away from the street. So, I'm just concerned about that, but I think the plan for the house is good. I just worry about, does this affect the neighborhood?
Wasn't that addressed with the extra parking spot? Because they went from two to three,
and
they're only taking away one from the street, so they're actually adding one extra.
But the house, the multifamily house next to it, has more cars than that would fit in that.
They have no driveway.
They have no driveway.
They had no driveway. Now they have a driveway.
So the driveway takes up one spot that would have been on the street.
And it's adding two more.
And then the other driveway takes up, and the house, depending on they build, takes up a spot, and then they added two. So it's a net increase.
Yes.
It's
a net increase. I don't see.
It's a net increase because the parking, the curb cuts are going to be 18 feet long, which is the length of one vehicle. So they're really only losing one space on
okay.
the street.
Okay, all right.
And they're adding two.
And gaining, five additional spaces,
yeah.
essentially.
Okay.
Overall, it's plus five.
Okay.
Overall, it's plus
all
five
right.
in the end, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Mr. Lloyd, do you feel satisfied with the plans presented?
I have no further questions for the witness. I believe they've addressed everything we've asked for.
Thank you. Anyone else on the board?
I make a motion to approve.
Not yet.
Not yet?
What is it? We'll have to talk about it.
After three times, I'm ready to...
Yeah, but it don't work that way.
I'm going to go out there with my truck and start building the house myself. It's a joke.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and open this application to the public. Anyone in the public wishing to speak or have questions on this matter? See none? I'll close it. And we need a motion?
Now I make the motion.
Very good, Bart.
I make it because the last time I paused this, right? So I think it's my duty to make the motion.
Now, do we have any conditions, or have they satisfied all the conditions? Is there anything still out there that needed to get resolved?
Who's that?
I think the conversation was about the trees, and they addressed
the landscaping.
Yeah. And they were going to consult the landscaping with the town.
There was some conditions, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah, so we'll make the motion with the conditions.
And what were the conditions? That's what I'm trying to...
Well, I think one of the conditions should be that who knows when this new house is going to be built.
Sure.
Okay. So I think one of the conditions is that in order to perfect the subdivision, the driveway for the existing two-family home needs to be installed prior to the filing of the subdivision. You okay with that, Steve?
Yeah, that's standard.
So make sure that
the driveway,
that the new driveway for the existing two-family house gets built prior to the subdivision being filed.
Okay.
And then, you know, then if the new house ever gets built, they will be responsible for building, obviously, the second driveway for the new home as well.
But we're requiring the driveway for the existing home to be installed prior to perfecting the subdivision.
Right.
Okay.
But there was also, we also talked about the fact that Liberty Street is going to be paved soon.
Yeah.
So we talked about having the curb cut for both driveways and the utilities for the new house being installed before the road is paved.
What's the moratorium on new?
5 years.
5 years.
And beat me to it. Those were the two things that were open from last week.
Very good. I remember that testimony from two meetings ago. So, okay. Barlow has made a motion.
Second.
Commissioner Grigori?
Yes.
Commissioner Insera?
Yes.
Commissioner Islin?
Yes.
Commissioner Orama?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
Chairman Rivera?
Yes.
Thank you all very much.
You're very welcome. Nice work.
Good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
Okay, next on our agenda, we have...
I got some questions about this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did open it to the public, but it...
Yeah, but not, that was for the other guy.
No.
That
no.
was here before,
he
not for this.
It was.
It was
open.
Not for Liberty.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
My apologies. We did, but...
The record's closed now.
Yeah.
It's closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was open.
You had to make
public.
A motion. Where
yeah, yeah.
It to
yeah. They stopped me in order to open it to the public. He shut me up so the public could speak. That's why I know he did.
That was before she was brought up. It was open to the public.
It was this one. I'm sorry that you didn't hear it. My apologies to you. I did open it to the public, and I'd like to give you a voice, but at this moment,
it's been. All right, good. Yeah. The way I understood it is this now. They're having two driveways, one on each side of the house now.
So the record's been closed at this point?
What?
The record's been closed at this point. So there's really no further comments or testimony to be made.
Okay.
Feel bad for that guy.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start a second application here. It's P25-02, 150 Princeton Avenue, Block 317, Lots 35, 36, and 37. The subject property identified as Block 317, 35, 36, and 37 currently has one single-family residential dwelling on the site. Applicant proposes to combine three undersized lots, subdividing it and constructing a new single-family dwelling on the new lot with associated garage and site improvement. The subject property lies within the R2 single-family 5,000 square foot district. Hi.
Mr. Chairman, members, nice to see
Welcome.
You folks.
Yes.
Thank you. Larry Talley on behalf of the applicant, Eric Nielsen. We'll be very brief this evening, Mr. Chairman and members. We've got a relatively straightforward application. We'll certainly answer all the questions you folks have, but we're not going to have that much in direct. What I'd like to do is frame for you what we hope to do here tonight and who you're going to hear from shortly. For the benefit of the record, there are three lots existing today, as you indicated, Mr. Chairman, lots 35, 36, and 37 in Block 317. It's 150 Princeton Avenue is the street address, R2 Zoning District. So right now there's three undersized lots there today. There was a single-family house on those lots, pretty much centrally located. The applicant's not proposing to enhance or expand the number of total dwelling lots on the property. He's actually reducing it from three to two. So today there are three lots. The proposal is to reduce that to a total of two lots. That does a few things. One is it creates a buildable area for a fully conforming lot where none exists today for a proposed structure. The applicant already owns and has developed the property that's there. He does it to the nines. Our project architect will walk you through some of the development that Mr. Nielsen's done in and around the town over the years. Very well-appointed structures. So the proposal is to build one single-family dwelling structure on this property as proposed to be subdivided, going down to a total of two lots. It also makes a number of existing nonconformities go away. The lot area nonconformity, frontage, a lot of things today that are tight because we have three lots, two lines bisecting into three pieces are going to two. The lots are breathing a little better, and those existing nonconformities are largely go away. The new lot is fully conforming. The existing lot has an existing nonconformity. The front yard setback, there's 20 required in the zone, 20 feet setback required. It's about 14.1 is the existing setback. That's not changing. The structure is there, but there are no new deviations proposed. So it's a relatively clean minor subdivision proposal. We have the benefit and we're grateful of the reports from Mr. Hoyt's office and Mr. McDonough and Mr. Flynn's office. We see no issues in those two reports, and we'll go through them once our experts get up here, Mr. Chair and members, but no issues in those reports that the applicant cannot comply with or meet. We tend to agree with all of the observations and recommendations of those reports, so we're largely in agreement overall with your consultants as well. We've got two experts to present this evening, Mr. Chairman. We're going to be pretty lean with both of them. First is our civil engineer from Boswell Engineering. They prepared the subdivision plan. We're going to walk you through what's there today, what will be there tomorrow, and a little more nuanced and detailed than I gave you on my proffer with the numbers and everything. And then we have Mr. Fox. You know, Mr. Fox is an architect. He appears here often. Ken Fox will ultimately be designing the structure that's going to be located here. We don't know what it's going to look like yet. We've got some typical, you know, houses of what it might look like. We do know it will fit within the footprint. It has to fit within the footprint, and if it doesn't, we would need a variance. We'd be at the Board of Adjustment seeking bulk variance relief. But Mr. Fox is also a licensed professional planner. We think it's prudent, notwithstanding the fact that this is effectively variance-free as proposed. We're just dealing with the existing condition. We think it's prudent to have Mr. Fox come up here. He can discuss the appointing details that Mr. Nielsen has done on his other projects that Mr. Fox has worked on with him, as well as describe to the board the conformity of the project and how we can reconcile that under the code and why the relief is warranted. So sort of a 1-2 punch, Mr. Chairman and members, tonight with those two gentlemen. And if no questions, we're glad to get underway with those folks.
Anyone have any questions at the moment?
I just remember that property being overgrown with trees, even through the house, so yeah. It definitely looked a lot better than it did.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Could you raise your hand, please? You swear affirm that the testimony should be the board should be the truth and the entire truth?
I do.
Can you state and spell your name for the record, please?
Jess Simons, J-E-S-S-S-Y-M-O-N-D-S.
Thank you.
So, Jess, for the benefit of the board, your background and credentials in the field of civil engineering?
I'm a licensed professional engineer. My license is in good standing. I have a civil engineering degree from NJIT in 1986. I was licensed in 1987. I worked for a firm, Bates Engineering. I eventually bought the firm, and I worked there for 28 years. 8 years ago, I went to work for Ferraro, which was eventually bought by Boswell. I've appeared before boards in Morris, Hunt, Warren, Sussex, Mercer, Somerset, pretty much everywhere. I also sat on the board with Scotch Plains, Liberty Township, Washington.
And your license is in good standing?
Yes, it is.
Sounds to me like your credentials are in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Jess, you heard my proffer to the board, the high level of what brings us here tonight. If you wouldn't mind, and Mr. Chairman, members, you're going to see, I believe, with Mr. Simons' testimony, will be the exact plan that's on file with the board, so nothing to mark here. It's not mocked up. It's not modified at all. Jess, if you wouldn't mind walking the board through the existing conditions, how we're reducing it down to two lots and what we're proposing to do, and the delta of conformance under the code standards, please.
So basically, we have three lots now, 35, 36, and 37, proposing to reduce the two. We're moving the one lot line right here approximately 7 feet to the north. There's an existing dwelling, this lot in the middle. We're proposing to add a driveway to this side of this house. And there's an existing curb cut there now, and we're going to provide two parking spaces there. We're also going to provide a new house. We're going to provide one parking space in front of the house and one in the garage. So in essence, we're providing four parking spaces. There would be three-bedroom dwellings, two of them, which would require four spaces under the code. We're within the riparian zone, and we're right up against the wetland buffer. So we'll need an LOI for wetlands, and we'll need a transition waiver permit from the flood hazard area. Both of those ones are generally available to single family residences.
Okay.
We have the new dwelling has no variances, and Mr. Fox, I think, will testify to the one variance of 14 feet of the existing dwelling. Mm-hmm. Besides that, we were going through the engineer's letter, and we don't really have any problems with any of it. We probably won't hit 5,000 feet square feet of disturbance since the lot's only 5,300, so we probably won't need soil conservation approval. But if we do, we'll obviously clean that up. So that's pretty much all I know.
Is there a basement in the new proposed house?
I think Mr. Fox might be able to answer that before you, Bill. But I think they've sort of been speccing out what they might develop here on the site, so Ken will be able to probably give you a better idea on that.
Are there any trees that are going to be removed as part of this project?
No, we're not going to remove any trees. Okay. It's basically, you can see there's a tree line here that's pretty approximate, but the center lot is empty right now.
Mr. Hoyt, you said they're satisfied of meeting all your report, so that sounds inviting.
I think there's
inviting.
A handful of questions I'm going to ask Mr. Chairman, just
please.
To make sure we address a couple of the testimony items. Is there any proposed lighting or landscaping? I know we're not taking down any trees, are we putting any in?
I think the intent is to try to mimic the landscaping next door, which they put some boxwoods in, and they have a light at the front door and a light at the rear door.
Okay. To turn that into a little bit of an actionable condition, you'll coordinate with the engineering department on a landscaping plan?
Yes.
Do you want to include lighting in that as well? Just to be sure.
I think that's fair. I heard front and back doors, so
okay.
If we can get photometrics on that to make sure everybody's okay, that's fair.
That's not a problem.
proposed stormwater management wise for the
if it's your wish, yes.
I'm sorry, what was yours? It sounded like at my wish, so
okay. Doesn't really work that way.
If you need it, he'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, again, for an actionable item there, the idea is to offset the increase in the impervious area and meet the reduction. Is there any proposed fencing between the properties?
No.
I heard no issue with, I guess, the rest of these items. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I have nothing else.
I have a question.
You know, the one item that you were concerned about was the sealed survey, which we will provide. So there was a little bit of a mix-up there on the who the surveyor worked for and stuff like that. He used to work for Ferraro Engineering, and Ferraro was bought by Boswell. And his was not transferred to their new authorization. So
yeah, for the board's benefit, there was a brief conversation between surveyors earlier today to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable that they're able to address our concerns.
We'll just make that a condition then as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So I have a question looking at figure two. I'm assuming that the obviously the lot that's to the left of the house is the one that's the house is going to be built, correct?
Yes.
And so there's no sidewalk there now, so they'd be required to put
the sidewalk goes right about to there.
I'm looking at this picture, and I'm not sure if I'm looking at the right thing.
Okay.
This is the existing house right here.
Yeah.
And then this is the lot we're going to
yeah.
build.
Yeah.
So looking at it,
there's no sidewalk in front of where we're building.
That's right. So you're going to build a sidewalk, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right with that.
They have to provide this, call it the streetscape. They have to continue that
okay.
standard detail across the thing.
So there are street trees on Princeton Ave. Is there enough curb space there for them to put street trees in? Because we have a lack of shade trees in that area. As a lot of them have died off. It would be nice to start populating it again.
I think given the existing street trees, part of the landscape plan, I think the condition should be continue the streetscaping with the trees.
At least two.
Two.
Because you've got two properties there.
When that lot goes up for development, those are things that we can
that's what we're asking to consider to the plan.
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So anyone satisfied with this, with the testimony?
Yeah. I am.
Okay. I think we can go ahead and bring up your next witness.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Open it to the public.
Yeah. Should I do it at the end or after this?
No, you just open it to the public.
Okay,
after.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, so if anyone has any questions of this witness as to what he testified to.
So before we, what's your name again? I forgot his name.
The next witness.
Anyway.
Next witness is Ken Fox,
Ken
the architect.
Before we bring Ken Fox, my apologies, Ken. Does anyone in the public have any questions or comments for the last witness? I see none.
Okay.
I'll close it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So our second and final witness, Ken Fox. Ken's a licensed architect. He designs houses, you know, in town, including those for Mr. Nielsen, both within and without town. He's also a licensed professional planner. We'll qualify him as both for purposes of the brief testimony he's about to offer, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fox, can you raise your hand? Do you swear affirm the testimony you give the board to be the truth and the entire truth?
Yes, I do.
And your name's been said several times. I'm assuming it's Ken Fox.
Ken Fox. Ken Fox, Fox Architectural Design, Ledgewood, New Jersey. My licensed to practice architecture, licensed to practice professional planning is current. I have testified before numerous boards, including this board, numerous times over the years. I know there's a couple of new faces, but I did receive my architectural degree from NJIT, and subsequently I started Fox Architectural Design with my architectural license in 1987, and I've testified before, I just counted 100 boards in New Jersey.
Thanks. I'm satisfied, Mr. Fox. He's been before this board many times.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Ken, we're going to try to keep it limited tonight. Just if you could confirm a few things that I proffer to the board is that ultimately the intent is to build a right-size structure here that meets will meet the setback and bulk standard requirements of the R2 zone. That's the intent. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And Mr. Nielsen has developed other properties in town. As I proffer to the board, they're relatively well-appointed. They're done to the nines, as I indicated. That's the intent for this property as well.
Yes, Mr. Nielsen has a number of car dealerships in northern New Jersey, and I work on all of those for him, and he has a reputation of high quality design and construction, and that is also evidenced by the existing house on this lot. If you've driven by the site, when we started this project, we did the renovation to the existing house on the site, and we think we've made a significant upgrade, and that is the intent with the new house, which will be totally conforming within all of the setbacks, height, and any of the requirements.
There was a question, Ken, about whether or not we think there's going to be a basement for the structure that we're developing. Any idea yet?
Yes, it is anticipated that there will most likely be a basement. Obviously, when we do some digging and make sure to determine groundwater will be there, but there is a basement in the existing house, so we're anticipating emulating that. The new house is being provided with a single car garage and then parking, as was testified, parking space in front of that in the driveway, so to provide the two parking spaces for that, whereas on the existing house, there's a the proposed or shown a two-car parking space with the existing curb cut. So that we presently, when we started this application, there was no parking for this application is a significant improvement with making this more conforming with the ordinance. And as was stated, and also was stated in the engineering review, there are a number of nonconformities that are eliminated by creating this because we are going from three lots to two. And in there that the lot areas where 5,000 square minimum is required, we did not conform at all before that. Now both lots conform to that. The lot width now conforms where we didn't conform before, and some side yard setback issues before, which we do conform to now. And there is one variance that is there's one variance presently, and that is the existing house has a 14.1, I think, believe it is, setback to the front property line. That's an existing condition. And as per the land use law, existing characteristics and locations of structures on a lot allows that to be a hardship in development. So our hardship in developing this variance-free is the fact that the existing structure existed. And also that existing structure is similarly in line with other houses down the street, so it's not out of character. And there's no negative impacts to either the zone plan or to the neighborhood, only improvements. And we think that with those improvements, a new home can be built here according to ordinance, and that we'll be very proud of.
Thank you, Ken.
Bill, did you have a question about the basement? Did you want to ask him?
No, he answered you. He answered that it would most likely have a basement.
Yeah.
And, I just want to let you know that you will have to provide FAR calculations on that because in this zone, FAR calculations are required. I think 55% is maximum. So just make sure you include that basement in that calculation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, if the FAR calculations come back non-compliant, obviously, then this is going to have to then go to the Board of Adjustment.
Well, we can always adjust the basement.
We would adjust the basement size.
Okay.
Just the basement size.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be compliant.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay. Anyone else on the board have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'd like to open this part of the meeting to the public on this matter. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments, concerns? Seeing none, I'll close it.
Thank you.
Okay. I promise you, Mr. Chairman, it was simple and we were going to try to be brief. I hope I was a man of my word with that. Relatively straightforward, conforming subdivision in most respects with the exception of the existing nonconformity. And we appreciate the board's time and consideration tonight. We appreciate your board officer getting us on the agenda this evening. Always very much appreciated working with her office as well as your professional staff always. So I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you as well. Good presentation.
Thank you.
Okay.
I make a motion that we approve this application.
Let's make sure we have the conditions, though, because obviously you're approving it with the conditions. So tell me if I missed anything. Coordinate with the township professionals regarding the landscaping and light plan. Provide sealed survey. Continue streetscaping with the installation of two new trees. and to provide floor area ratio calculations. Anything else? Anybody?
That sounds good.
Okay.
And the trees, right? Potential trees.
Yeah, he said two trees. Yeah, we want that.
Very good. Okay, now we can go ahead and do a roll call.
Commissioner Gregory?
Yes.
Commissioner Intera?
Yes.
Commissioner Isling?
Yes.
Commissioner Arama?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
Chairman Rivera?
Yes. So, thank you very much. Nice seeing everybody. Hope to see you folks soon. Okay. Take care.
All right, moving forward, we have application P25-03, that is 126 East Dickerson. Subject property identified as block 1901, lot 2 currently has a 65,500 square foot warehouse building with approximately 7,000 square feet of vacant space. The applicant proposes to utilize the vacant space for warehouse manufacturing distribution use in accordance with the requirements of the Town of Dover Planning Board resolution, memorialized on September 27th of 2023. For the minor site plan approval, the application proposed site improvements consists of restriping the existing parking lot area and loading zone and the addition of a single signage to identify the applicant's business. The subject property lies within the IND zone. Okay. Hi.
Mr. Chairman. My name is Remo Caputo. I'm the attorney for Acro Blending and Acro Blending and Packaging. Okay, they're the applicant. They are going ones who want to occupy the 7,000 square foot space. As you were indicating, the only reason that we're here is that there was a previous resolution, as you indicated, that was on August 23rd, 2023, which was memorialized on September 27th, 2023. And that resolution approved a minor site plan for the 65,000 square foot building. But it said you could have two spots occupied as the warehouse that they testified, but if the third unit was going to be anything other than strictly warehouse, then we had to come back before the board. Acro is a Acro Blending and Packaging has a semblance of manufacturing in it, and or assembly possibly, so which we'll testify to, and that's the reason why we're back here. So what I'm going to present first is Mr. Christian Monet, who is the owner, well, one of the owners of Acro Blending, and he's going to explain to you who Acro Blending is, what they do, try to explain their process, what they do in the building, and then we will also have our engineer who will testify as to what's being done on the site plan. Now, I will indicate to you, as I'm sure that you're all aware, we've had extensive, conversations with both Mr. Islin and Mr. Hoyt, because apparently the site has been somewhat problematical to the board. And so what we're going to tell you up front is that all the conditions that were in the previous resolution and the ones that we assume are going to be on ours are going to be assumed by my client, by Acro Blending. They will assume the responsibility for getting all of that done. And we, like I said, we've had conversations with both Mr. Islin and Mr. Hoyt regarding that. So what I would like to have first, hang on, you got to get sworn in first. So, okay, so what I'm going to first do, I was going to ask Mr. Bonet to come up and testify, tell you who he is and what he intends to do with the site. Okay?
Okay.
Now you can.
No, I can see.
Right, no, now you got to get sworn in.
Okay.
Could you raise your hand, sir?
Sure.
Do you swear a firm testimony to give the board the truth and the entire truth?
Absolutely.
Okay, could you state and spell your name for the record, please?
Christian Monet, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N. Monet is M-O-N-N-E.
M-O-N-N-E, you said? Okay, thank you.
And I just wanted to.
Hang on. Okay. All right, the first thing we want to do is we want to tell the board who you are and who Acro is.
Okay. So Acro Blending and Packaging is a company that blends different scents. I apologize. I figured I'd show you guys what we do so you get a clear picture of everything.
So I've got some physical samples.
What we do is we take sand.
What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to enter these into evidence.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just, cover you.
Bags of sand.
There are two bags of sand.
Yeah,
bags of sand.
So A1 will be two bags of sand.
Thank you.
Did you think
this
that
is my first
happen?
Time?
So we'll call it just two bags of sand.
One's a P40 and one's a FT size. So basically, what we do is we take different sands and we bring them in bulk pneumatic tankers. We take them and we blend them and we ship them off to different customers. Some customers may want some of this stuff specified. With sand is specified. Three different categories. You have your size, you have your shape, and you have your color. When you mix these things all differently, you create, and you put them in a matrix, you get different finishes. Here's an example. I guess another exhibit.
You guys got storage?
So we'll mix this sand, and when they finish it at a job site, this is the pattern.
A2 will be, I guess, examples of finishes?
Yeah.
Finishes.
Okay.
Now, we don't do the finishes. We don't make them. We just blend the sand that's using them, and we send them to the manufacturer, and they go ahead and put it in their property. And that's what we do.
Okay.
We do it with sand, and we do it with minerals and abrasives. There's a customer here. I don't have his, I think he'd be a potential customer, Jay Sperry. So he makes monuments, and he uses an abrasive material to make his stencils.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some of that in-house. Wherever he's picking that up from, now he'll just come like 5 blocks away, pick it up from us, and be done. So there's a lot of different things that we do with
that. Right. So tell us about Acro. Where are you located right now?
So Acro Blending started with me and my partner as Acro Steel. We've been in business for 20 years in Clifton.
Who was your partner?
Jack Solek.
Okay,
Jack is traveling with his family to Florida for the vacation.
So what actually happens in this building? Now we had a floor plan. I wanted to bring up the floor plan.
It should be up there.
Here.
Everybody should.
Is that part of the package? Or?
No.
This is part of the package. Explain how how it's going to work. So
I'm going to get the map for this one.
You should have a copy.
You can show this if you got a copy.
Very simple process. We have two trailers. These are both night trailers. This is where our sand is going to come in. There's a door here. We'll have the trailers go out to pick up the sand. We're picking up at WIPCO, which is Dividing Creek down in Bridgetown. Comes back, we unload it, put it in a mixer, blend it, bag it, put it in a pallet rack, it goes out the door.
Are the trucks in the back or the front of the building?
They're inside the building.
They go inside the building, okay.
Is that where they're stored overnight as well,
yep.
Inside the building?
Well, you say the trucks come in and they unload into the two trucks that are in the building.
No, we're going to put these, they're going to go out on the road.
Okay.
They're going to come back in full.
Okay.
And
then they stay there. And then when they're empty, then they go out.
Then they go back.
Okay.
They go back where?
And get more.
Overnight they'll be here. They'll always be here.
Mm-hmm.
They only go out when they go to load up sand.
Come in, put it in the grinders, go back, pick up more sand, come in. They're taking the stuff out when it's mixed.
Yep. And then here's the bagger, and we just put it in the bag.
What's your hours of operation?
7 to 4, 7 to 4:30.
So when you're doing the mix, do you need special ventilation for the dust?
Just dust collection.
Okay.
How many employees will you have?
Four.
Four employees, and how often will you have deliveries of these trucks or any other trucks?
About 2 times a week.
Okay. And do you have visitors?
Vendors. We may have some manufacturers that come by once in a while to see, check on our work.
On a weekly basis, what would you say?
Two or three.
Is there any waste generated from all the sand?
Very little. I mean, it's all captured. And so I know that there was a plan talking about recycling.
Right.
We're going to have a half a yard dumpster and roll it and bring it in and out.
So you'll keep it
inside.
It's going to be kept inside.
So basically everything's going to be inside the building. Nothing's going to be stored outside?
Nothing's going to be stored outside. Everything will be done inside.
Okay. How many days a week? I missed that.
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday.
And is this property going to be fenced? Or is it fenced?
It's not fenced.
Okay. Now,
just to confirm, so you said you have two deliveries a week, right?
Yes.
So you have two truckloads of material coming in a week,
yeah.
And when it gets to the property, it would dump the load on the floor, tipping floor, or is there a hopper that they?
There's hoppers, yeah.
So there's hoppers that they load into.
Yeah.
Okay, and then at the end of the day, that truck or how many trucks do you plan on having?
Two.
Two. Those trucks will be stored inside the facility
inside
at night?
The facility.
Okay. And then, but you're only expecting two truckloads of material per week?
Per week.
Okay. And how many delivering this material to, distributing this material to businesses or stores or what have you?
Yes. So they'll come, they'll send the flatbed. The other thing we do is, I want to share with you guys, if you guys ever walk into a Wawa and you see the floor, we bring those raw materials in. Those are about 14 different sizes and colors and shapes. So if you walk on the Wawa floor, we probably mix it. We didn't install it. We don't install anything. So what we'll do is we'll mix this. They'll send us to manufacturers, they'll send us the raw materials, or tell us what you buy. We'll buy it, we'll repackage them in a standing sealed bag, a 3,000-pound super sack, and then it goes out to their distribution.
Who picks it up?
They do.
Okay, and how many times a week do they do?
If we're giving two, we're probably having out 2 to 3 trucks a week.
Going out. Okay. Those are trucks that belong to customers?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know
the size of those trucks?
They'll either come in a flatbed or a 53-foot front bed.
They load up inside the building as well?
No, we propose a
loading dock.
Loading area.
All right, so that's in the back of the building?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so what I would like to do in order to keep it going, I'm going to ask them to come back because first I'd like to have the engineer testify as to the site, and then we can talk about the conditions and stuff, and then he'll come back on and talk about committing to doing all the work. Does that make sense to you?
Okay. We can do that.
All right, so you can kind of hang out for a while and ask Mr. Brian Duddy.
Do you swear a firm testimony to give the board should be the truth and the entire truth?
I do.
Can you say your name for the record, please?
Brian Duddy, Brian Duddy, Duddy.
Thank you.
Would you state your profession and your qualifications?
Absolutely. I currently work for Suburban Consulting Engineers in Flanders, New Jersey, on a 96 Route 206. I graduated from NJIT in 2011, received my professional engineering license in 2016. I've testified in front of numerous boards in Morris County and elsewhere in New Jersey, about a dozen boards. My license is in good standing currently.
Seems like everybody who comes before this board is with NJIT.
Yeah, impressive, right?
Cool.
Okay, you're familiar with the plans?
I am.
And you have participated in drafting them?
Correct.
All right, would you tell the board what we're doing with the site? Well, first of all, let me just ask this. You're familiar with the previous resolution?
I am.
Okay. So I would like you to tell the board what was supposed to happen with the last one, what didn't happen, and what we're going to do to bring it up to compliance.
Yes. So as far as the previous resolution, condition number 4 stated several conditions that needed to be done on the site. That included removing weeds and replanting the planter box on the eastern side of the building, completing all the landscaping, repairing or replacing any broken pavement, restriping the parking lot, and painting the tower atop the roof in a solid color on all sides. Some of that work was complete, not all of it. Firstly, the proposed 30 parking spaces along the north side of the building were not striped. Those will be striped as part of this application, as well as additional parking spaces to the east due to the new tenant. Also, what wasn't done was the landscape bed on the east side of the building, right there. That will be weeded and regrown and replanted. Play with this. The landscape bed on the eastern side of the building on this side. And those are the things that weren't done that will be done as part of this application. What was completed was the landscape strip along the southern and eastern part of the property. Those trees are planted and in good condition.
And we're adding parking spaces?
Yes, we are due to the manufacturing tenants, which require slightly more parking. Previously proposed was 30 parking spaces, 30 spaces required. Due to the manufacturing, there's 7 additional parking spaces required. Those are being proposed along the eastern side of the building with 3 spaces, and then on the other side of the asphalt, which is another 4 spaces. So there'll be 37 spaces proposed with 37 spaces required.
Plus the loading dock?
Plus the loading dock, which is conforming with the town ordinance.
So I had a question.
No, you've looked at the letters from Mr. Daugherty and from Mr. Hoyt. And do you have any issues? Also one from Mr. McDonough as well. So can you comment on those, please?
Yeah, the letter from Mr. Hoyt dated April 14th, 2025. We ran through. We don't see any exceptions to his comments. The first couple comments, there were just a couple minor discrepancies between the application and the actual plans. The plans are going to govern here. Comment number 2 states that the side yard setback on the plan is 112.0 feet. The application indicated 112.8 feet. That's reconciled on the plans as 112 feet. Number 3 states the application was approximately 7,000 square feet. The actual square footage is 6,355 square feet for the new tenant space.
Plus the office?
That's inclusive of the office.
Okay.
Correct. And then the rest of the comments from Mr. Hoyt we are amenable to agree with. Comment number 4 discusses proposing wheel stops for the parking spaces up along the wall, north face. The client is agreeable to install those, so we will update the plans to include them.
And the signage is wrong on the application, right?
Yes, there's another, and we discussed this with Mr. Hoyt as well, and that's kind of jumping down to...
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take it out of order.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So standard order number 5. The parking stall striping, which includes accessible spaces, they're located on the north side. There's also a key map to the bottom right of the plan. It shows the existing grading is compliant with ADA regulations. So those striped ADA spaces are compliant. And then the various landscape improvements, which mainly includes that landscape bed on the east side of the wall of the building. Comment number 6 discusses tenant signage. There is a typo on the detail sheet, sheet 3 of this set, that shows a 44-foot wide sign by 2-foot tall. We discussed with Mr. Hoyt, the town ordinance permits 40 square feet maximum So that sign will be proposed to be 20 feet long by 2 feet high, conforming to that 40 square foot. That was discussed with Mr. Hoyt, and we will update that on any resolution compliant plans. The next signage issue is the sign at the top of the tower. In the previous resolution, it was noted that a welcome to Dover, New Jersey sign shall be installed. That sign has been installed. It's shown on detail sheet 3.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that you're going to paint the other sides of the tower.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of unimpressive. The color of the front of the tower looks like it's all faded, and it's not like a solid color. And I don't know. I just was expecting something more creative.
Suggest you want to continue?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't help myself.
Sir, I agree as well.
Well, I think what they're going to do, he's going to paint the rest of...
I'll show them the it's my turn.
Okay, well, when it's his turn again, he'll tell you what he's going to do.
Okay.
So the applicant will address that comment as well with the solid color. And then just comment number 7 from Mr. Hoyt's report, there's not going to be any proposed lighting for this site. The existing lighting on site will be utilized in this submission.
Are there any safety issues?
No. Mr. McDonough's report just indicates that safety shall be of utmost concern. Mr. Monet can discuss any further safety issues, but we believe that doors will be locked, the loading doors will be shut during operations.
And there are cameras.
And there are also security cameras located outside the building on all sides.
So the only outside work being done, other than is the striping and are the parking spaces and the sign over the door and painting the tower. And that's it. There's nothing else going on outside.
In addition, the landscaping, and then there's also a note on the plans that states that any existing asphalt that's in disrepair shall be repaired.
Right. And they're putting the wheel stops.
Correct, and then the wheel stops as well. So fairly minimal exterior improvements here.
Any questions by the board?
Sure. So there's going to be sand in here is being mixed, and are there currently installed dust collectors already?
No.
So it's...
Okay. You're still under...
So, yeah. So there'd be one dust collector over the mixer, and that's it.
That's all that's needed?
That's all that's needed.
Okay.
And the only material that you're going to be mixing inside is sand?
Yes. So currently we manufacture other products at 1 Ackerman Avenue in Clifton, and we're going to keep everything that's...
manufactured there?
There, yeah.
So just sand?
So sand and what we call minerals and abrasives. So things like aluminum oxide, silicon carbide. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those things. They're just
no hazardous materials.
No hazardous materials. DPWs all over the state will use aluminum oxide in the sandblast cabinet to clean parts. What we do right now is we bring them in bulk. We repack them. If you look at MSC or Granger, you go to the website, a 10-pound box of aluminum oxide is going to cost you, I don't know what it is, but it's expensive. So that's what we do. We package and we blend. Mm-hmm. Nothing else.
Okay, so what I should have asked you was last time you were here and I didn't, to address some of the questions that were in the reports, did you look to see what other the other two tenants have by way of employees?
Yes, so I was able to speak with my neighbor, Sophia Cavallone. She is our neighbor. She has 4 to 5 employees. 4 mostly, 5 when they have some extra work.
What's the name of the company?
Volstal.
Okay. And they have 4 to 5 employees.
Yep.
And the other
is the other occupied by the landlord, where he has 4 employees and he just simply does, he imports and distributes furniture, tchotchke type stuff.
Will there be any storage of material or outside or any vehicles or trucks or any equipment outside?
No storage of any equipment or trucks outside.
So the loading zone is strictly going to be for customers that come in with the vehicle that needs to be loaded up with the prepackaged material, and then they would be loaded and they would go on their way.
That's it.
Now, is it only your business that's going to be using the loading dock, or can the other tenants use the loading dock as well?
I believe those tenants have their own loading docks.
Okay. What about the noise level? These are mixed in a hopper.
Have you gone to, I'm sure you've seen on the job site, just a mixer that they're mixing grout in? Mm-hmm. We're just doing it in a large volume.
Inside.
I mean, noise will have to comply with code.
Obviously. Yeah, it's very, there's no noise. Very little.
Okay. No new construction inside besides?
That's it. There's an existing office there. It's a very simple operation. It's cut and dry.
So you're going to talk about the tower?
Yeah. So I agree with you. One of the things that we manufacture, we're going to make our sign. We make these starter boards. I don't know if there are any more exhibits.
What do you call it?
Starter boards. Okay.
We'll mark it A3.
A3.
They're starboard, STAR?
Yeah, starter boards.
Starter.
And so they're used at these different areas in a construction project. Okay? The stuff that's highlighted.
That's exhibit.
So this is the
exhibit 4. That's A4.
I think it's A5, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was A4.
Okay, A4.
So this is the type of material that we're going to make our site out of. It just adheres. You put the base on the back of it, stick it to the wall, and that's it. Okay? So we make this and we distribute this out of 1 Ackerman Avenue. We make the actual base coat as well. Okay?
And your lettering on your name is going to be?
Made out of this material. I don't know if you guys have heard of Hackettstown Lumber. We made a sign for those folks the other day. It came out really nice. And this is what we're proposing to replace what's existing.
An A5, yeah.
How big is that?
Yeah, much better.
That would be made out of this.
Okay.
Can I see that up close?
Your sign.
Do we actually have our sign?
You can pass it to Mr. Hoyt here, and he'll pass it around.
Our symbol has the colors.
The color, we'll put the color. We'll finish it with stucco. It'll be coated with color.
And what's the color for the whole tower that you're going to paint?
So the red that's existing there, the previous owner tried to remedy some of the resolution issues. So he picked some guy. There's the red paint that he used. There's still some left over. We're thinking of that, but at your wish.
Yeah.
So you guys can put that. You guys can put that in. You know what you'd like to see.
I have a recommendation that you consult with the Historic Preservation Commission for colors.
No, we would be happy to consult with them and abide by their recommendations.
Is that supposed to be a horse?
I don't know.
That's a dog.
That's a dog.
But it's a horse.
It's supposed to. Okay, so we'll fix all of that.
Just so you know.
Yeah. I figured.
So,
very nice. Okay.
The signage, is that something that... condition for approval.
I want to put a condition there about the historical, consult the historical society. This is an industrial building. Why would we complicate
But we're saying welcome to Dover.
About the color.
Okay.
It's something that's going
to
be
but
visible.
But we need to bring the historical society for
not
an industrial
society.
Building?
It's the Historic Preservation Commission that has
they
good color choices for something like this instead of bright red or something.
So we need them to opine because these people can't do
it's
it.
It's not an application. It's a consultation.
Okay. I just think it's overkill.
Yeah, and I look at what's existing there.
Yeah.
We'll consult with.
You're going to consult with the historical board, and then we'll say that has to reach an agreement with the board engineer.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
If you come up with a colored rendering of that sign, and the color recommended for the tower, and then we'll call in the chairman of the historic commission and have him take a look at it.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Object.
Yeah.
I have a nice color palette. I think it'd be appealing to the...
No, I think it will, because the train comes right there. Mm-hmm. People will see it. I'm with you. I like it. The only thing is that there is a lot of cost to this, because we're going to make this sign. Yeah. Look what's existing there. I just don't want to have to go through this historical process and...
Not so much.
No, no.
I agree.
It's not a process. They just submit a colored rendering of that, and then just bring it to our office, and then Paula will make an arrangement with the chairman of the Historic Commission to have him come in and look at the colors.
Yeah. And my only thought was there wasn't any really recommendation to the property owner at the time, and he just put something up there. And there was nothing. No one cared. No one did anything.
But if you're going to make it nice.
I'm going to make it nice. I want to make it nice. I'm going to see it.
I agree. I think it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's a statement, right? It says it's a statement about.
The town.
Yeah. And the business that you're doing something positive for all that. So I think it's a good idea.
We have a request, and I've spoken already to just about everybody. Mr. Monet has lost a significant amount of money because he was supposed to be in this place by September.
I signed the lease in September, I'm sorry.
All of these problems are due to the landlord. Matter of fact, we're going to assume the responsibility for making all of these repairs, because if we waited for the landlord, it wasn't going to happen. So what we're asking is that you waive the necessity for the memorialization before he can start his process of occupancy.
We can consider it, absolutely.
Here's
what I spoke to Mr. Caputo about this already, and I spoke to Mr. Islin about this as well. What the board can do is say that the board has no objections to him occupying prior to the resolution being memorialized. What that's meaning is that you're not directing any other town official that you're basically overriding anyone else's review or requirements with respect to them occupying, meaning that if the health department has certain requirements or the zoning official has certain other requirements, you're just saying, based upon what we heard tonight, we have no objection with him taking occupancy prior to the resolution being memorialized.
Okay.
Now, again, that's as far as you can go. You can't give any directions, though, to any other...
And that's all we're asking.
Yeah.
We believe that there's going to be, costs involved with doing all the conditions, and we're willing to post a bond for that so that we can post a bond and occupy right away. So we can, and the board can be assured that the work's going to be done. And
so
we,
typically, with a request like this, if the work can be done now before the tenant space is occupied, typically we would want that work to be done prior to the occupancy of that space. What they're asking for is, and instead of taking care of those things that they need to do on the outside of the building, that they would post a bond for the value of that work that needs to be done outside, which would allow them to maybe get into the space sooner, but they would have to post a bond with the town for the value of the work that their engineer has provided us with an estimate of what that work is going to cost. Mm-hmm. And then, there would be some kind of time frame on that. In other words, they have 60 days or 90 days to complete the work, otherwise they're in violation of their site plan approval. Okay, so we could, that's a secondary route. We could go that route, or we can make him do the improvements before he moves in.
Right.
Now, that's something for the board to consider, okay? But as our attorneys mentioned before, I know that there is also some permits that our construction official is looking to make the applicant get as well.
Right.
So even though we may say that we're okay with him going in there, he might be limited based on what's required of him through the construction department as well, making sure that they have the proper permits and everything before they can actually run the equipment. So, we have to decide whether or not we want him to do the improvements first and before he moves in, or let him bond for the improvements and give him a deadline to get those improvements done by. So we have to consider that.
All right.
That's what they're asking us to do.
That's what we're asking.
So just from my point of view, I think that I would be reasonable to give them that opportunity to, you know, start the process, get them in there. But that's my opinion, and I welcome the board as well.
I agree. If the bond is posted, then there's a time frame.
And give them a time frame.
I agree.
Yeah.
So how much time would you be asking?
I would like 60 days.
I'm okay with 60.
I'm okay with 60.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go more just in case?
Yeah, why don't you give them 90 days? But
I love 90 days, but I can use 60 days. Thank you, Commissioner.
Yes. Yes. 90.
Go more.
That works for you?
That works for me. Thank you, Commissioner.
Well, we still haven't approved it yet, but yeah.
So 90 days from today, or 90 days from the adoption of the resolution?
No, we're going to go for 90 days from now.
Okay. That's better.
So because the bonding information, not to say that you're going to accept it, but you have the estimate, you have to approve the estimate, and then you got to post the bond, and then he's got 90 days from the posting of the bond. How's that?
Okay.
Well, we'd have to put a requirement on how quick they have to post the bond. I mean,
we're
kind of leaving this.
I think it's 90 days from today.
I think 90 days from today.
Fine, 90 days from today. We need to get the bond amount approved by whoever's going to approve the bond amount, and then we can post the bond.
So the best deal is
who has to approve that?
We're going to figure that out.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's either going to be me or somebody through Bill's office.
Okay. So once you approve the amount, you have a copy of it. You can look at it and say yes, no, whatever. Whatever the amount is, it's 120%, right? And then he'll post the bond and off to the races.
Now, have they provided you with their estimated cost?
They did submit it. I haven't reviewed it yet, but
okay.
I have it.
All right, so you have it. Okay, I just want to make sure you have it. Okay.
Before we go any further, Mr. Hoyt, if you would please, anything you would like to address?
Mr. Chairman, I have two questions. I think the applicant did a great job addressing the comments that were in the letter. As part of the testimony, I think I heard operationally, the trucks that pull into this building, the operation takes place with the doors closed. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
All right. So truck comes in, door shuts, then you're moving the sand around.
Yeah.
Sand settles, gravity. Door opens, truck goes on its way.
Sure.
All right. So closed operation. In terms of, I understand you were assuming the prior conditions, kind of cleaning up the lot. At the site driving by today, there's quite a bit of outdoor storage going on.
Yeah.
Do you have control over that, or is that the landlord's?
That is the landlord's product.
Mess is the word I'm going to use.
Yes, it's been horrible. It hasn't been easy. He finally took that stuff out of there in February. Okay, so that's been sitting outside since February, folks. We're now in April.
Okay.
So I can't do anything about it. All I did was told him, I'm not paying you. I signed this lease in September. I'm not paying you any more rent until I can at least store my equipment in there. And Mr. Islin was very nice when I spoke with the landlord. He took his stuff out there, and I do have my equipment there. So at least that helped me out significantly, because I had this equipment coming in, and we're paying finance too on this mm-hmm. equipment. We're not even using this. So it's been a mess, and there's nothing I can do other than Mr. Hoyt tell him, you know.
That's why I asked, Mr. Chairman, I think. Bill from his own.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been out there in probably a couple months at this site, so it sounds like this is something that's happened more recently where they're storing some stuff outside, which we'll have to address with them, with the property owner.
So
the last time I was there, I don't remember seeing anything being
stored
outside.
No, this was just recent.
Yeah, it must be something recent.
So, Bill, the fact and Mr. Hoyt, the fact that there's stuff out there that doesn't belong to him and he has no hand in it.
Well, there was a violation to the property owner.
This
applicant's not. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with him. It's okay. The property owner.
I just want to make sure it doesn't affect our decision.
No, it should not.
And I do want to share that we've been in communication with the landlord about purchasing the building, and we're hoping that we can do that within a year or two.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. Nice. Okay.
I have nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So, anyone else on the board have any questions or concerns, comments? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and open this part of the meeting to the public. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to speak on this matter? See none? I'll close it. I'm going to ask ask the board to make a motion with conditions to...
Okay, a couple of conditions that I have, and again, that, let me know if I missed anything. Mainly, I guess, they're taking over and taking responsibility for all the items of the prior resolutions that remain incomplete. So this applicant has now decided to take that on to themselves as a condition of this application. With respect to the tower and the sign, they're going to submit proposed colors of the sign and proposed colors of the tower, and then and we're going to coordinate with the board secretary. Board secretary will then bring in the chairman of the historical preservation, and obviously they'll take into consideration his recommendations. Now, again, it's consulting his recommendations, and I, if there are, I guess if there's if a decision can't be reached, then I'd ask that Mr. Caputo bring that to my attention, and I'll bring it back to the board.
You know, we're not going to do neon.
Okay, well, I'm sure the board's happy to hear that. And then lastly, I guess, is the...
Can I add, Mr. Rush, that the only reason, if I don't take over doing these, fixing these resolutions, I'll never get in there.
No, I understand that. I mean, I know why you're taking it over, and I think the board understands that as well.
We do.
And then, you know, lastly was, obviously, 90 days to complete all the outstanding items from the prior resolutions and whatever was required under this application. And they're going to post a bond, and the amount of the bond is to be determined by the engineer and Mr. Islam.
In conjunction
with the applicant's engineer, who has already proposed the request for the items to be corrected.
I have one other comment. The previous application that came before this board allowed them to have two additional tenants. Okay, and warehousing type tenants. They have another tenant in there since the approval. This would be the second tenant since that approval. So any additional tenancies within this building would want to have to come back to this board for approval.
I think this takes up all the space,
doesn't it? Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But
I mean, but he could take his space and subdivide
right.
Additional spots and additional tenancies.
Bless you.
Thank you.
And so I want to make a motion, but I want to word it correctly. So if you would help us out.
Well, I just cited the conditions, and Mr. Islam just added one more. So based upon the conditions I cited plus Mr. Islam's condition, any motion to approve, or I'm assuming you're making a motion to approve this, would be with those conditions as cited.
Thank you. So I need a motion to approve.
I'll make it.
Second.
Commissioner Dugari?
Yes.
Commissioner Insera?
Yes.
Commissioner Islam?
Yes.
Commissioner Orama?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller?
Yes.
Chairman Rivera?
Yes.
And again, it's not a condition, but the applicant does have approval to represent to any future century. I guess probably it would be the construction official, that the board is not objecting to them occupying the property.
Yes.
Okay. And so, Mr. Chairman, I would like to, in particular myself, for myself, like to thank both Mr. Brush, Mr. Islin, Mr. Hoyt, and also Paul, because I was on the phone with them almost every day, and they were extremely helpful. So I think they're probably glad that I'm not going to be calling you.
No, it's not at all.
That's the best part about it. You can reach somebody and get some answers and add closure to your case.
And they were about. Extremely helpful above and beyond, and I just want to say I appreciate it.
Okay, very welcome. Good luck with everything.
Well, thank you, guys.
I look forward to seeing that Dover sign. It'll be
me too.
Really nice.
I look forward to seeing everyone. You guys come visit anytime you want.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You don't need any of those exhibits, right? You don't need to hold this.
I will have to. I need it today. Why does it belong to Rob?
The starter board.
It's all yours.
If I may ask, after that's collected,
the starter board, okay,
what happens
to the exterior?
Just stay there.
We use concrete. Hey, blocks.
The sign. Thank you.
I think the sign is part of the package, wasn't it?
No, I mean, they have.
Okay.
That's a 1-inch, 2-inch. We make them all different profiles.
All right. At this part of the meeting, I'm going to ask anyone in the public wishing to speak, not on any of the cases, but anything other than that. Seeing none, I'll close it. No old business?
No old business. Wait, that will be new business. I just wanted to confirm with all the chairs that you received the email for
the
financial
disclosure
statement.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Make sure you do it, it'll get fine.
Yeah.
I'm completed. Did you get the information? Mine's done. I think her name was Tamara. I had an issue getting in. She got me in. Mine is done.
You can contend it to me or Tara?
Well, it's submitted to the state.
Oh, I will double check that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I will talk to Tara. I don't know how to do this. I think she might be able to see.
Yeah.
Mine's already popular.
Yeah. I couldn't remember the password.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the only reason I couldn't get in, because I couldn't remember the password.
Yeah, because once you were in, it should be popular with that.
Yeah, and once she gave me a password, and once I put the password in, it went right in.
Before we go any further, I just want to say thank you to everyone for a good job. Everybody's in their part. Appreciate it. It really makes meetings worthwhile to me to be here. Volunteer, so we are volunteering here. It's great. Thank you so much, both of you. And I need a motion to adjourn.
I make that motion.
Who made the motion?
I second it.
I mean, it's nice to keep the meeting moving, because last night I was in front of Cluster till 11:45.
I'm with you.
And the chairman would not stop talking. That's why we
last night. You actually had some late night meetings.
Yeah, but normally they just like once because I sold it.
That's all right.
This was the reason. This is the reason. Shut up.